then there is a formal process of reviews that the draft then goes through. So we're hoping to have that about ready in early spring of 2025. And then it goes through this formal process that all recovery strategies under the Species at Risk Act go through, which is much less exciting, but it's called jurisdictional review and internal compliancy checks. And so it will go through that process where it continues to get feedback and edited, and then it will become its a proposed recovery strategy, and it gets posted for a public comment period on the public registry. And so that will be announced very broadly that a proposed recovery strategy for Southern Mountain Caribou has been posted. It usually has a 60-day comment period, and then sometimes, for example, for boreal caribou, there were thousands of comments received during the comment period, and they actually extended it quite a bit so that even more comments could be received. And then there are teams even beyond the unit I work with who are tasked with finding ways to meaningfully include all of that feedback in the draft. So there's still lots of changes to come, lots of people to weigh in, lots of opportunities for the public and everyone to have a chance to see it and make their comments as well.
Great. And just really broadly, what do you hope this work accomplishes?
Yeah, well, one of the hopes would be that when a community member opens this, it's a much better representation of their views and understanding of the world than we had in 2014. But again, it's not going to be the end-all be-all of that. And I hope that through this work, it also encourages communities to say, hey, this recovery strategy that's the federal document is not quite going to do the job at reflecting my worldview because it's constrained by a structural process that the bureaucracy demands. And so we're going to do our own thing, and it's going to help caribou in this way. And so there could be offshoots and parallel documents that are developed by communities, and we're hoping to support those with funding. And then, yeah, I hope that the document also does a better job at informing the general public that caribou are really important to communities, and that communities' voices should be centered in these documents. And I know it would be just a bridge in a longer process of reconciliation that's going on to start this work. Like, this is maybe some things that can start happening in more recovery strategies and more federal documents and more provincial documents about caribou, where it will become more standard practice just to include the words for caribou, for example, in all the languages of people who are interested in it. Or there might be, and my bigger hope would be that we can start reclaiming indigenous names for caribou in like formal species names, subspecies names, and herd names. And I think I have a long-term goal of like a general project would be like a gigantic big website where people could go and see caribou populations, click on and hear elders speak the words, and have all of the language information that people want made public to be used for education, to help with language revitalization projects, and so that we can keep supporting the efforts that so many other people who have gone before me and our continued work on this have done.
Great. Is there anything else you want people to know about this work, other work, yourself?
Some of this is available online through our partnership with the Center for Indigenous Environmental Resources. And so their acronym is CIER, C-I-E-R, so CIER.org. And if you look up Pacific Region, CIER.org/Pacific Region, I think, or Google that, you'll get to the Pacific Region page. And then there's a tab for Southern Mountain Caribou where you can find all of these images from the graphic recording that has happened and our summary reports and infographics. So if you want to see some of how it looks, that's a good resource.
Great. Well, thanks for taking the time to sit down with me this morning.
Thanks so much for the opportunity.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting live from Burnaby Mountain, Burnaby, BC.
We see it in Chicago. Shots of the good stuff, too.
Chicago.
Bird Note. Looking out at the ocean, we might just see a chaos of waves and troughs. But, like an expert angler, a tern can read the surface of the water to find where to catch its next fish. Researchers studying the feeding habits of terns piloted a drone to learn how the birds zero in on good fishing spots. By flying the drone at an altitude of 100 meters, well above the feeding terns, the scientists got a detailed look at the birds' flight paths without disturbing them from the hunt. The flight paths showed that the terns seek out turbulent water. They tend to dive for fish where colliding currents form a vortex. The swirling water traps small fish near the surface, the perfect place for terns to snatch them up. When the terns spot new bubbly upwellings at a distance, they fly to them, as the rising currents can bring other prey animals along for the ride. Using drones to observe airborne birds from a safe distance is helping reveal how they see the world. For the terns, the water's surface isn't just nice to look at. It's a map to their next meal. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann.
Reporting from Port Moody, British Columbia, this is Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby. The city of Port Moody is spearheading an eco-conscious holiday initiative that allows local residents to decorate Pioneer Memorial Park next to the Port Moody City Hall. The wildlife-friendly holiday decorating program lets participants utilize environmentally friendly materials to create eye-catching ornaments to hang on wireframe sculptures and potted trees within Pioneer Memorial Park from November 17th to February 11th of the next year. To learn more about the program, as well as why it was happening in the first place, CJSF took a trip down to City Hall to speak with Aaron Embley, the City of Port Moody's Director of Environment and Parks, who was able to provide some insight on the community impacts of the program.
It's actually just the second year that the program's been on, and staff in and around parks were noticing the sort of tendency of people wanting to decorate out in many parks and in open spaces, and in a response to try and sort of contain that enthusiasm in a way that was helpful, the idea for the pilot project in Pioneer was born. And so last year was the first year, and it was really successful, and there was definitely a lot of participation. People enjoyed coming in and using eco-friendly items to decorate the park.
To gain more insight on the specifics of the decorating project, we asked Emily to explain what the city considers to be an eco-friendly decorating material.
On the park's website, we do have a list And so some of the suitable materials would include wood and twine, cork, reusing fabric, stones, those types of things. Some people also had fun baking things out of sort of simple dough out of flour, water, and salt, and then cutting them into fun shapes and baking them. Other people just, using twigs and painting them and creating different, creations of their own. Recycling, upcycling, all of that is excellent. Just really staying away from the glass, the plastic, tinsel, those types of things can be pretty hazardous to wildlife.
As stated earlier by Embly, this holiday decorating program was implemented as a response to growing concerns over unauthorized decorating in public parks using materials that are hazardous for local wildlife. So if this is the case, has the program had the desired effect?
Yeah, there was a noted decline last year in the decorations in our parks. And yeah, a lot of the activity in Pioneer, people enjoyed it. And so yeah, we'll see how this year goes. We're kind of just getting into the festive season. So we're hoping for another successful year.
Once again, you were just hearing from Aaron Embly, the City of Port Moody's Director of Environment and Parks, who was able to speak on the positive environmental impacts of the city's wildlife-friendly holiday decorating program. This program will be going on until February 11th, 2025, so residents of Port Moody are able to contribute to the holiday decorating within Pioneer Memorial Park until then. Once again, this has been Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. And this piece would not be possible without the continued support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative. You can also listen to this piece on frequencynews.ca.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby, British Columbia.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizerwitz, and this is Climate Connections. Black beans, kidney beans, pinto beans. Most of the beans you see in the grocery store today are varieties of a species known as the common bean. And in many parts of the world, growing common beans is getting harder as climate change causes increasingly hot, dry weather. So researchers have been studying another species called the tepary bean. Tepary beans are native to parts of the Sonoran Desert and grow well in hot, dry regions.
They are able to grow under drought and high heat conditions.
Carlos Urrea is a dry edible bean breeding specialist at the University of Nebraska. He and his team have been working to identify the genes that give tepary beans drought and heat tolerance, as well as disease resistance. And they're working to breed these traits into common beans.
Now we are able to move genes from the tepary beans to the common beans.
His team has created new varieties that are being field tested in drought-prone regions, such as Nebraska, California, Puerto Rico, Uganda, and Tanzania. He says these new varieties have the potential to help feed people who rely on beans as a critical food source, and where food scarcity is a growing concern as the climate warms. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
Reporting from Burnaby, British Columbia, this is Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby. According to recent research conducted by Daniel Kerrigan, a postdoctorate fellow with the Department of Geography at Simon Fraser University in Burnaby, the rate of personal use evictions has skyrocketed in recent years within numerous provinces throughout Canada, including British Columbia, Quebec, and Ontario. To learn more on why this is happening, CJSF was able to speak with Kerrigan and hear her speak on the reasons behind this rise in personal use evictions. The first question that we had to ask was, what are personal use evictions? Here's what Daniel Kerrigan had to say.
So like own use, personal use, landlord use, those are all kind of thrown around in the mix. And what it is it's a legal justification for eviction, which enables a non-corporate or individual landlord to move themselves or a family member into a tenant-occupied unit to terminate the existing rental contract. Mm-hmm. So in other words, like landlord or their close family usually, again, this like differs based on what jurisdiction you're looking at because all of the rules are sort of different, are able to terminate an existing lease to move themselves or a close family member into a rental unit that's occupied.
During our conversation with Daniel Kerrigan, we asked her to expand on some of her research findings regarding personal use evictions.
There's this really, really clear trend in Canada's three largest provinces that own use evictions are just absolutely skyrocketing, right? So in British Columbia and Quebec, own use evictions, the number of filings, and we're using own use eviction filings, which show landlord intent basically to evict. But basically what we've seen in this data is between 2019 and 2022 in Quebec and British Columbia, the number of own use evictions doubled filings. And in Ontario, it doubled between 2018 and 2022.
Afterwards, we asked Kerrigan if her research yielded any possible reasons as to why this stark increase in personal use evictions is occurring.
What the initial evidence really points to is it's a lot of bad faith and fraudulent evictions. Mm-hmm. And it points to the fact that own use evictions right now, as they are in Ontario, as they are in British Columbia and Quebec, represent a relatively easy way for a landlord who's interested in getting higher new market rents to be able to evict their tenant. And so kind of like the things pointing to a lot of these being fraudulent is one of our big findings was that while they're skyrocketing in these provinces with strong rent control protections, they seem pretty steady in provinces where there's not a lot of tenant protections, which suggests that landlords aren't engaging in own use evictions because they don't need to, because they have other ways to kind of already get at this market rate rent.
This assertion stems from an aspect of Daniel Kerrigan's research where she interviewed various tenants throughout Canada that were experiencing evictions. Half of the interviewees included in the research were experiencing personal use evictions.
And about half of them overall were people who'd been own use evicted. You know, that was pretty steady in the three largest provinces, and it was way, 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 way less in New Brunswick, which again has very few rent control protections. And then, you know, you see articles from time to time as well, just in the media, documenting cases where it seems very much in bad faith. But from tenants, we heard, you know, systematic evictions. So people would see a landlord move themselves or their family members, or at least suggest that's what they were doing, into the units of a building with the longest standing tenant, and then the next longest standing tenant, and then the next, which is suggestive of going through the tenants paying the least rent and systematically kicking them out.
Lastly, we asked Kerrigan if her research provided any potential solutions for the rise of personal use evictions in provinces such as British Columbia. One of these potential solutions that she provided pertained to residential tenancy branches, or RTBs, implementing stricter regulations requiring landlords to provide evidence for personal use intent.
Before the landlord is allowed to send this notice themselves to the tenant, they have to go to the RTB and they have to have evidence. It's like, I need this apartment. I don't have alternatives. Like, this is something I actually require. Here's all the evidence I have. And so that would provide the advantage of then making it a lot easier for the RTB to check up on that, incentivizing tenants to challenge this. And it would also, I have a little bias here, but it would improve the quality of like the data as well, because you would actually see how many of these there are, instead of just hoping like the tenant reports it so it gets contested and then it shows up in the filings data.
Once again, this has been Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. This piece would not be possible without the continued support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative. You can also listen to this piece on frequencynews.ca.
Walking this bitch with my head down low, you're pretty hard to miss, I know. You can tell from my everyday fits I'm glowing, ain't nobody ever do it like this, oh.
Whole team look like the A-list. Baby, don't ask if I'm famous. Style in a while and you know me. Most can't handle the homie. I should let my hair down low or something. I look too good to sit down and do nothing. I should let my hair down low or something. I look too good to sit down and do nothing.
I think it's time that we face facts. Face facts. I think my spirit got face tags. Water is life, take a river bath. Get you some water for the thirst traps. Hair braid, I know you seen that. Seen that. Nails painted, best believe that. Believe that. Ain't no then I mean that. I mean that. Cause babe, I told you I don't need that. No. Come and get your lovin', baby, you know red bone. Life of the party, take a picture on the phone. Photo shoot fresh, you can see what I've been on. We gon' need the cover of the Rolling Stone. Straight up out the trap line, baby, in the shows. Up until I flatline, you know how it goes. It comes with the territory, homie, I suppose. It's all I need, she knows. Whoa.
Whole team look like the A-list. Baby, don't ask if I'm famous. Style in a while and you know me. Most can't handle the homie. I should let my hair down low or something. I look too good to sit down and do nothing. I should let my hair down low or something. I look too good to sit down and do nothing.
Hey, I don't wanna give it all away. Today I feel like Kanye. Let me slay like Beyonce. Homegirl say Tonsa. I'm unfazed, man, it's in a face. Put your feet up, let your sweat. Fresh fade, need a couple braids. In the city for a couple days.
Yo, fam, what's going on? Answer your phone, man. I heard you need a braid up, let's go.
I don't understand. Chilling with a can. I've been one with the land. What's a plan? What's a plan? I've been working too hard. Need a beer in the dirt. Let me get a little work. Understand. Understand. I've been busy being a man. I don't think you understand. I don't got a lot of friends, only fans. But let me sh- down. Let me buy a couple rounds. And it's back to the money. Let me dance. Yeah.
Whole team look like the A-list. Baby, don't ask if I'm famous. Style in a while and you know me. Most can't handle the homie. I should let my hair down. Too good to sit down and do nothing. I should let my hair down low or something. I look too good to sit down and do nothing.
Ain't nobody f***ing with me, man. I'm heat, man. One club ready in each hand, you beat, man. I squinty like Eastwood, let's be friends. Big Nietzsche in the Fleetwood with sweet days.
kisses. I float on them like salt, I'm too vicious. Hopped out of the whip and blew kisses. Stop short of the door, let's do pictures. Haters all in the back like stupid pictures. I should let my braids down low or something. Hair like the prairie, show 'em where I come from. Beads over diamonds, everything custom. Baited up mama, baited up youngsters. Only got love for the fam, I don't trust them. Deep in the spaceship, all of my cousins. Indian car with the bras and the mufflers. Let the bang bring the drums in.
Whole team look like the A-list. Baby, don't ask if I'm famous. Style in a while and you know me. Most can't handle the homie. I should let my hair down low or something. I look too good to sit down and do nothing. I should let my hair down low or something. I look too good to sit down and do nothing.
Lay your head down low or something, yeah. You should let your head down. Lay your head down low or something. You should let your head down. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
You should lay your head down.